weekend is not complete without the First Lady of New York Radio. It's the Joan Hamburg Show, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
We all have our favorite journalist. Mine includes the great Harry Smith. He's one of the most well-known, the most distinguished journalists in the country, had a great and is having a great career, a news anchor for, I don't know how many years, Harry, more than what, 30? It's a long time.
My first job in radio was over 50 years ago, so yeah.
Well, congratulations. You did well.
For a guy with a voice for radio, I did okay, I guess.
Well, you know, and that voice started expanding, and it not only did well in radio, it did great in television. And you've worked probably all over the map in this country and told stories everywhere. You are one of the great storytellers.
You know, I guess when I first started in radio, it occurred to me that what I really wanted to do was get in the news business and get. Right. I was started as a kind of a disc jockey, and then I moved my way toward public TV and ultimately to a CBS affiliated station, then to the network, and et cetera. But I just really honestly feel like the most fortunate person on the planet because I've really been able to fulfill that dream for decades.
Right. But at what stage did you decide that you wanted to retire?
I've been talking about this for a while, and I'm actually in Pella, Iowa right now, where I went to college, a little tiny college called Central College. And people know Pella because of Pella Windows.
Yeah,
there's also
course.
A lot of Dutch people here. So there's a giant tulip festival every spring, and the tulips are gorgeous right now. Anyway, I'm back here now because I'm meeting with some folks to continuing to plan a course I'm going to teach this fall on curiosity. And that was the engine that really drove me through my entire career. Was
curiosity.
You know, the who, what, when, where, how. Just, I mean, Joan, it's like, right, you are still at it because you want to know things. And that's why we get into this racket.
Right. And people always say, you ask too many questions. Well, I said, how do you know anything? Of course, when you do it with your kids and everyone else, they don't like it.
Right, right. But that's how the public
it
also gets informed.
Exactly. And you've had a good time and an interesting time. Did you have any kind of anxiety when something in your head said maybe it's time to, use the R word, which in our industry is sort of scary?
I've lost my train of thought there for a second. So actually, I've been talking about coming back here to teach, to Pella, to teach at my college for a couple of years now. And
do they have a journalism department or you're going to start
it? I'm not going to be teaching in journalism. This is not a course in journalism. It's a course that is really about curiosity. It's about adaptability. Mm-hmm. It's about things that I think these young people will need in their toolkit as they walk into adult life and the careers they're going to pursue, because things are changing so rapidly. Unless you're thinking and curious and hungry to learn things, you're going to get left on the curb.
Right. And kids also have to learn when things don't go right, that you've got to learn to step over them and make it work.
So, for instance, one of the people that we're either going to Zoom or maybe even have here in person is a pal of mine who's a recently retired lead historian at the World War II Museum. And we're going to talk about perseverance. This guy's written books about Europe and World War II. And we're going to talk about the Battle of the Bulge, things that are, barely on these kids' radar.
Right.
And talk about what it really takes to get things done sometimes.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. And
doesn't it sound great? What a blast.
It does. It makes me want to go back to school. You know,
I just want to have fun and I'm just trying to light some fires.
Right. And what does it take? I can't wait to hear as you progress in this journey.
We'll
yeah. How do you light a fire among a television generation?
Well, actually an iPhone generation. Yeah. How many hours a day do these kids sit on these things? It's mind boggling. So I'm going to have a cardboard box in the front of the classroom and everybody's going to have to dump their phones in the cardboard box.
It's going to be real pain.
And if they want to take notes, they're going to have to come with a pen and paper.
Oh, you're in for a great Harry Smith adventure. You know, these are all new tools to some of these kids.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes, right? I mean, we'll see if there's pushback. I'm hoping to learn, quite honestly, in my most sort of idealistic way, I'm hoping to learn as much from them as I hope to be able to pass on to them. So, you know, that's my dream of how this might all work out.
Well, it's going to work both ways. And I've always been interested when kids will call me, you know, a friend of a friend of a friend. Look, I need a job and I really want to be in journalism. You know, all right, tell me. Well, I want to be in New York, of course.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to start. And, you know, no sense of sometimes it takes five states, maybe more.
Oh, for sure.
I was trying to remember how you got started. Because I go back to the early CBS days when you when you did mornings.
Yeah.
But you've worked in so many other places.
So before that, I was hired by CBS to be a reporter in their Dallas bureau, where I covered I traveled all over the United States. I traveled to Pakistan and the no man's land, and I traveled everywhere. And then they brought me over to do the morning show. But before that, I worked in local news in Denver. Then I was in radio for, you know, some years in Denver, all kinds of different shows. But my first real professional radio experience was here in Pella, Iowa, where I knocked on the door of the little local radio station and said, do you need somebody to write advertising copy? So I wrote advertisements for D&D Pump and Pipe. and then did color commentary on girls' high school basketball games.
That had to be fun.
Well, it was a really different era, and it was a daytime radio station. This is an ancient history. It was a daytime radio station. The local veterinarian and I would bring a woolen sack tape recorder to these games. We would record the game, and they would play it back the next day on the radio, even though everybody knew what the score was. But everybody would want to hear their daughter's name on the radio.
Of course. And look what's happened to women's sports now.
Oh, Iowa girls basketball.
Unbelievable.
Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing in the planet.
I know. I didn't even know who that was, but you can't believe I'm embarrassed to say I'm glued to it. Every time there's a game.
It's fascinating. She's amazing. You know, I got to meet her high school coach because we were in Iowa City the night she broke the NCAA women's record for scoring. And I got to meet her high school coach. And I said, what is it that makes her so special? And she said, you know what? She's not afraid. Women are so often taught, you know, you need to be careful.
Right.
You got to watch out for this. You got to watch out for that. And this woman just says, you know what? I can shoot from anywhere on the court and I will. And you can just, you know, I dare you to stop me. It's fantastic.
It is. And it's fantastic to watch it. I mean, she's brought a whole new element to viewers.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe her, how she goes for it and takes us all along, right? We love it.
Mm-hmm.
But along your career, have you felt that you were always on the way you wanted to be? You were going along the path?
You know, not exactly. But part of this adaptability thing that I was talking about that I want to include in the course is you'll be in situations that you don't love or think this isn't maybe not ideal for me, but I think part of the lesson I want to pass along is, even if it's not what you love or think this is where it ought to be right now, you still need to crush it, whatever it is. Because if you want to get out of there, you're going to have to dig your way out. Mm-hmm. And if you're crushing what you're doing, that will give you, doing the very best job you possibly can, that may give you the opportunity to get to where you actually want to go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
And you paid your dues because you went to a lot of places you didn't want to go to all get night, to where it was.
All night radio shows. I was on the all night radio show in WLW in Cincinnati in the mid 70s. And, we took calls from 38 states and even from Scandinavia and Canada. Listen. I'm so fortunate to have worked in places in a time when you could really fall and skin your knees and think, I shouldn't have a job tomorrow, but they'd still, you'd still be on the air. So as you said, these kids want to start in New York. You need to start someplace where you can make some mistakes and learn from your mistakes before you get into a platform where that mistake could cost you your job.
Right. And it's also a matter of learning whether this is really what you want to do, if you're willing to go the route. But you knew sort of early on, right, when you started, that you did want to go into journalism, whatever form it took.
Well, I'll be honest. I was either heading to seminary or I was heading to graduate school, and I was broke. And my father was a truck driver in Chicago, and we didn't have any money, and nobody had money for graduate school. So I had screwed around in radio when I was in college, and I said, maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll try, let's see how that works. And it was really one thing led to another, led to another. And then it became pretty clear to me where I wanted to go.
What was that first radio job? Do you remember?
I was an all-night jazz. The first real professional job, I was an all-night jazz disc jockey in Denver.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have it's a little funny how life turns out, but I had a music teacher in my blue collar town south of Chicago that would loan me his jazz albums when I was in fifth grade. So I ended up with his job, and I actually knew a little bit of what I was talking about. Go figure.
Yeah. Amazing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he ever find out what you were doing?
I started moving up the food chain in fairly fast order. Maybe I was there a year or so before I went over to the AM side and started doing all nights over there. Then it's off to Cincinnati. Then it's back to Denver. Then it's, that old fashioned radio sort of, you're moving constantly and trying to grab onto the next rung of the ladder.
And you could do it in those days.
Yeah, you sure could.
So now what whispered in your ear, maybe it's time to have a new adventure?
You know, the media landscape is changing dramatically, right, especially as people cut their cable cords and things are all about streaming and what people consume and everything else. And as the kids say, honestly, for years, I've been playing with house money. This last decade or so at NBC has been really rewarding, and I would go into an executive producer's office and say, I think I want to do a story about it. And they said, just go do it. You know, whatever you want, we value what you do. So we will leave it to your judgment to go find the thing you want to do. And you know, who gets that? So I've been doing I've been doing that for a long time.
Absolutely no one. So no one was very cheerful when you announced that you were.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there were tears. There were tears on the set at the Today Show. And as I was looking at them crying, I thought, I can't cry too. Because as I say, I've been the most fortunate person. Really amazing. But I will also say this. As I was getting ready to leave, I heard from some other colleagues who had left the business in the last couple of years. And one of them in particular said, you will be shocked at how quickly you adjust to this new life and how happy you'll be. So
is that true? It
seems to be true for me so far.
You know, years and years ago, I was working with someone you probably knew, Gene Klavan.
Sure.
And Gene decided
Klavan
that
and Finch,
Klavan
right?
and Finch. And
yeah.
Gene decided that he had had enough temporarily. And when I came to a station that he was like a senior, you know, papa there, he said to me, don't retire early and don't quit. And I said, why? He said, because then you're just another guy at the bar with an opinion. And I never forgot that.
That's a good line.
Because he was sort of one of my heroes. You know, he was funny, and it was not so easy to be funny on the radio in those days.
Right, right. My wife and I have joked. I said, because we live in the Upper West Side, and I said, I'm going to be like one of those Altacacas sitting on the bench on Broadway, in the middle of Broadway, you know, just like shouting out my opinions and grousing about what's wrong in New York City, right?
That's so funny. If people who don't live there, what Harry is talking about is that as you come in and you're going to Zavar's or you're going to Fairway or one of the landmarks on Broadway, you're going to meet people on the bench who are sitting on the crosswalk. And they don't care that you think they're nuts. They're just, right? They're just talking about the world.
That's it. Some of them are really well informed, too. That's
of
really
course, because,
yeah.
you know, they sit there all day in between bagels and just tell us what it is. So now, Harry, what's the next story if you could write it as a dream job or any job?
Yeah, you know, I'll just be honest. I'm 72 years old. I'm still in excellent health. And, you know, life is capricious.
Right.
And there's a part of me that says, you know, at least for the time being, I'm not chasing anything. I don't have any great schemes or this is the show I want to do, or this is the place I want to work.
Right, you don't want to live in Paris for a couple of months.
I don't have any schemes in mind of like something I want to pursue next. For now, I'll work on my teaching my course. We'll think more about doing some traveling, and you know, we can let the dust settle for a little while and see if something rises up in the midst of that. But at least for now, I really am not thinking about, I got to get a job at blank. That's not on my mind.
Enjoy the luxury of giving yourself time.
What a thought.
You know, well, because we have access to everything in all worlds, but time isn't one of them.
Really well said. Really well said. And I've got some right now, and my intention is not to waste it.
No, that's for sure. Do you want to write?
There's everyone assumes that
you're going to have a book.
People have been talking to me about it for, it feels like forever. And I'm still discovering things, and I'm reading things, and I'm reading people I've never read before. And my energy is good. And some days sometimes the words just come out of your fingers, just to be perfectly honest. And I'm not going to resist that temptation when it happens.
Good. Well, we're all looking forward to that. And is there a place you call home more than other places?
We've been on the Upper West Side for 35 plus years.
Home.
Same apartment. So, yeah.
I know. It's for a guy who moves around a lot.
We feel very much like adopted New Yorkers. This is really both of our kids were born here, went to school here. They both live. One lives in Brooklyn. One lives in East Village.
Have ever thought that our kids would want to live in Brooklyn in the East Village when everyone we knew in those years wanted to go away from there? And suddenly,
right.
We're hearing about $2 zillion apartments, but it's in Brooklyn.
I'll tell you what's funny is people have complained about New York and what happened during the pandemic and this and that and the other thing. And you should have been here in the 80s. You should have been here in the 80s or in the 70s. When I first came to town here, I had friends who lived down in Lower East Side. And they had like 20 locks in their doors. And they still got broken into. And if you had a car in the city, it would get broken into. And people had cardboard signs on their windshields that said no radios. And those would still get broken into. And if you got together with your friends, all you talked about was, Mary Jane got mugged. Or, Sal got mugged. Or that was the currency of our time 40-some years ago in New York City. And now, you know what? In comparison, it's pretty darn good still.
Yeah, it is good, and it's been good to a lot of us all along the route.
Yeah.
So, I'm sitting out here talking to you, looking out the window and thinking, we really love this town.
Yes, right. It's irresistible. It's interesting to me. I was just earlier in this week when I was in New York, I'm walking uptown to, run some errand. There's a guy who is an old veteran who sits on close up to our block.
Right.
And he's got a kind of a shtick for, he's got his cop out and stuff. Yeah. And I talk to him all the time. And I know he's got a place to live. I know that he's got a bad leg. He sees me. I see him where our eyes meet. I said, that's part of the fabric of where I live, part of the fabric that I value, right? And as I think about spending a lot of time out here, I'm going to look to have enriching fabric out here too, but there's really nothing like New York.
No, and there's nothing like you telling all these stories and meeting all these people and making them real and giving them a humanity. So don't leave us for a long time, okay? We need it.
Joan, that is so kind of you.
No, it's true. We had one of those guys that you have on our street, and my husband loved clothes. It was his weakness.
Mm.
I didn't. He did. And he would walk past this guy who would say, I love that suit. So the guy, next day, I go out, and he's wearing my husband's suit. So I said, I'm just curious, did my husband, who's not the biggest sharer, give you this suit? He said, yeah. He gave me the suit. He said, but you know what? I don't get a lot of tiffs when I wear this suit. So, anyway, it's all part of our adventure here. Thank you, Harry. Enjoy teaching.
Joan. Really good to talk to you again.
You too. I love talking to you. And we'll talk after you start your teaching. I can't wait to hear.
See if I get run out of town.
Yeah, I doubt it. All the best. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care. Be well.
I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC, and of course, always a lot more on your favorite station. Stay tuned.